Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Rolling in third hour of the Thursday edition of the program. I hope all of you are having a fantastic start to your mornings. I know that there are a lot of weather-related conditions and concerns all over the country as a deep freeze has set in. I hope that things are getting better in Texas in particular, but millions of you out there lost your power. I know that many of you are out there dealing with a lot of different travel conditions than normally would be the case, and I hope things are getting better sooner rather than later wherever you may find yourself. I know by the weekend things should be getting back to normal in many ways. We are sitting probably with, I don't even know what the total is, 7 or 8 inches of snow here in Nashville, which never happens. It snowed all last night. Going to finish off the show here this hour and then probably take my kids and end up sledding. Looks like absolutely perfect sledding conditions. So that is what is on tap here in the Outkick studios. Crazy and unfortunate and wild when you look at the history and the legacy of Rush Limbaugh in the world of radio. So I have been doing daily radio solo for about 5 years now. And I did it before that on the weekend and solo for years and years. And what I would say in general is, whether you like this show or not, there are relatively few people who can do solo radio on any topic, sports, current events, anything. And even fewer of those people who can do it well, and a tiny pinprick of people who can do it well for as long as Rush Limbaugh did radio. Decades and decades of what I believe is the most influential radio show that has ever existed in the history of the United States. In the current affairs, in the political realm, in terms of influencing public policy, and in terms of just a massive audience of people who are listening along. And in particular, I think there are two people who are radio legends right now. That is Rush Limbaugh, and that is Howard Stern. And if you debate them and discuss them and try to analyze them, the way that I would basically characterize it is, Limbaugh is the most influential radio person of all time. I think Howard Stern is probably the most entertaining radio person of all time. When you think about the decades and decades of work that both of those guys have done in their careers. And that I went on with Gottlieb yesterday in the afternoon talking about this soon after the news broke. And what I said was, I think there's a lot of truth to it, there's a difference between influential and entertaining. And the most entertaining movie, for instance, never by and large ends up winning the Academy Award, because there's a difference between movies that are significant and making major statements oftentimes, and just popcorn level entertaining movies. So the Marvel superhero movies, which is what I would say basically is Howard Stern, never end up, even though they have a massive appeal, winning Oscars. And meanwhile, there are other movies that are incredibly influential that don't have the same viewership that people end up giving a lot of attention to. And I would say that is, in a rough analogy, the difference between Limbaugh and between Stern. It's why I would say Limbaugh is the most influential, I really do believe this, the most influential person to ever do radio. And I know many of you who listen to this show, I'm even on some of the same stations that Rush Limbaugh is also on, and I know many of you are going to miss him a great deal. So condolences to Rush Limbaugh and to his family and to his millions and millions of fans that have spent decades listening to his radio show on a daily basis. Limbaugh, in particular, penetrated into the world of sports relatively quickly in a segment that went viral all the way back in 2003. In particular, Limbaugh was hired to work at ESPN as a commentator on their NFL pregame show. And alongside of Tom Jackson and Chris Berman, Steve Young, and Michael Irvin, it's wild to even think about now because of the direction that ESPN has gone since then. The idea of anybody who is not a far left-wing zealot working at ESPN is almost hard to imagine, much less a right-wing conservative radio commentator. But it did not last very long with Rush Limbaugh on the television network, and that is because of this segment that went viral talking about Donovan McNabb and the success or failure of the Philadelphia Eagles. If you haven't heard that clip in a long time, I still find it to be incredibly timely, and I would encourage you to listen here. This is from ESPN in 2003, Rush Limbaugh discussing alongside of Tom Jackson and Chris Berman and Michael Irvin and also Steve Young, the quarterback position with Donovan McNabb and the Eagles.
I've listened to all you guys, actually, and I think the sum total of what you're all saying is that Donovan McNabb is regressing. He's going backwards. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to say this. I don't think he's been that good from the get-go. I think what we've had here is a little social concern in the NFL. I think the media has been very desirous that a black quarterback do well. Mm-hmm. We're interested in black coaches and black quarterbacks doing well. I think there was a little hope invested in McNabb, and he got a lot of credit for the performance of this team that he really didn't deserve.
Somebody went to those championship games. Somebody went to those Pro Bowls. Somebody made those plays that I saw running down the field, doing it with his legs, doing it with his arm. He has been a very effective quarterback for this football team over the last two or three years.
Yeah, but
what we see right now. And they didn't have any more talent then.
Oh, yeah,
than
they did.
Have
on
now.
Defense. On defense, they
on
did.
On defense, they did.
They're
side of the ball.
That's what I'm saying. I think he got a lot of credit for the defensive side of the ball winning games for this team.
But I'll tell you what, I'll say it even more strongly, Tom. When they're winning, nobody makes more plays
than Donovan McNabb.
With his arm than Donovan McNabb. Yeah. That guy is really one of the best in the league at making plays. But making plays does not win championships. Running the offense does. So at some point, I think
Coy
Detmer looks like a better option because he'll go in there, drop back, and throw the ball correctly.
Isn't it odd that last year, with the broken leg, I know it was Arizona, but the one game he was in the pie, he looked great.
He had to run that off.
So, Rush, once you make that investment, that's a done deal.
I'm saying it's a good investment. Don't misunderstand. I just don't think he's as good as everybody said he has been.
Rush has a point.
Well, he certainly hasn't matured.
That is 2003 ESPN. And some of you probably remember that controversy maybe a little bit if you're old enough to have been watching ESPN back in the time. I was a law student at the time, and this was a pre-social media, pre-social network in general era. I don't think Facebook even existed. And so this primarily played out in television and in old school media, newspapers, everything else. Rush Limbaugh ends up losing his job as a result of that conversation. I thought then, and I think now, that there was nothing at all wrong with what he said. Now, I know Donovan McNabb pretty well at this point. I worked with him at FS1. I like him. I think he's a good dude. But I don't think there's any doubt that the identity of a quarterback in particular, because that's the most important position in all of team sports, that the identity of a quarterback, but the identity of athletes in general, oftentimes become a big part of whether or not we root for them, all right? So let's take a step back and think about where we are. It's the same conversation still going on, frankly, except it's been flipped on its head to a large extent. So look, we talked about this on the show, this was several months ago. Do you remember when Dominique Foxworth at ESPN came out and said he rooted against Josh Allen as a quarterback because of the people who root for Josh Allen? And he said those are the kind of people who have American flags in their profile pictures. And it didn't even hardly create any issue at all for Dominique Foxworth. But if a white ESPN analyst had said, hey, I root against Lamar Jackson because of the profile pictures of the people who root for Lamar Jackson, that guy would have been fired and never able to work in sports again. And so identity is very often a part of how we decide who and why we're going to support people, whether it's fair or foul, and also whether the media is going to cover a story in an aggressive fashion. I said before when I wrote about this, and I wrote about it some in my book, Republicans Buy Sneakers Too, which is the most recent book that I've written, I think that Rush Limbaugh was well within the bounds of acceptable discourse to raise this as an issue, because I do think that the overall identity of a quarterback often characterizes the way media covers him. Let me take it out of quarterbacks and out of football for a moment. Jeremy Lin. Do you remember Lin's sanity several years ago now? Jeremy Lin became a major story because he got on a fantastic run with the New York Knicks and because he was Asian. Not because necessarily he had the greatest run in the history of basketball. It was the fact that Jeremy Lin was doing that as an Asian basketball player that turned that story into a massive one there for a couple of weeks. It's probably been, what, 8 or 9 years ago now that Jeremy Lin went off. Now, he wasn't able to sustain that level of excellence, but the reason why he became a story on the level that he did was because he was an Asian guard, an Asian point guard, not because he was having the greatest run in the history of basketball. It was because it was an unexpected run, because people didn't know Jeremy Lin, and also because there hadn't been an Asian basketball player outside of Yao Ming really make much of a difference in the NBA in its history. But I also think the history of the quarterback position is such that I believe the vast majority of people out there listening to me right now who are NFL fans don't care at all. Don't care in any way what the race or of a quarterback is. As long as that quarterback can win, you are going to support that quarterback. But it's interesting that we end up being drawn over and over and over again back into the same discussion and the same topic. And what Rush Limbaugh was pointing out, and I think it's an intriguing angle and it's certainly worthy of discussion, is we talk a lot about people rooting against a black quarterback, right? It's always a topic. We had this come up a couple of years ago with Lamar Jackson and whether or not he was going to be successful. And it's kind of it makes a lot of people just get tired of the same topic coming up again and again and again. But if there are people who are rooting against a quarterback like Donovan McNabb, Rush Limbaugh's point was there are probably also a decent number of people that are rooting for a guy like Donovan McNabb because of his race. Again, for that same identity politics-laden reason. And I think, unfortunately, what happened to Rush Limbaugh set the expectation that there's only one way that you're able to talk about sports, and you can't in any way draw a more serious discussion about this sort of story. So I'm curious for the crew out there that may or may not have actually heard this clip, maybe not ever, I mean, 'cause it's been 17 years. Does that seem like a conversation that should have necessitated Rush Limbaugh being fired? I think the answer is 100% no. And I also find when you listen to that clip, I don't like when people feign outrage after a clip has already existed. Does that make sense? When I say it, like, in real time, people on television had the opportunity to react to Rush Limbaugh's opinion, and nobody was really able to do it. Then a whole week goes by and everybody decides that they're going to be offended by the conversation, and Rush Limbaugh ends up getting fired for raising this as an issue. I think it's 100% worthy of discussion. And I think there's even some truth to what Rush Limbaugh is saying. I think there are a lot of people that root for people who traditionally have not had success to have success. Like, I don't think that there's any doubt that that was the case. And so the fact that he would get fired for saying that is, I think, what has led us on the slippery slope in the world of sports in particular. But I think in a larger cancel culture, this is what is acceptable to be said. This is what is not acceptable to be said. And I think whether a lot of you out there agree or disagree with the argument that Rush Limbaugh would make, or the argument that I would make on this radio show on a daily basis, this is the full flourishment of the First Amendment. There are a lot of shows where a conversation like the one Rush Limbaugh had can't exist. And in fact, in much of mainstream sports media, that's the situation. So I'm just curious on the crew. Dub has hopped a flight. He's out. But Danny G, is that something that Rush Limbaugh should have gotten fired for?
It's pretty crazy to hear now in 2021. Back in 2003, I was hosting a morning show on a hip-hop radio station, and I remember our morning show talking about it. A lot of the country was outraged. It was a big deal. When I just heard it for the first time again years later now, compared to this crazy world we live in and talk radio and all the TV shows, that seems really tame.
I agree.
If that happened now, people really wouldn't even blink, I don't think.
I think you're right. What about you, Eddie? You do updates. Like, listening to that from, I guess, 18 years ago now, almost, does it seem crazy that he lost his job for that conversation and that was considered to be unacceptable discourse?
Yes, and I even honestly remember thinking at the time, you've hired Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
What did you expect?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the type of thing he talks about on his radio shows, or did obviously talk about on his radio shows. So why would you be upset when you brought in a guy to create a discussion?
Yeah, I agree. And I've never heard a long form discussion of that segment. But as a TV guy, everything is scripted. And what I mean by that is, you know what the topics are in advance. So I've always wondered, did Rush Limbaugh not let anybody know what his opinion of Donovan McNabb was going to be in advance? And he just ran up and cannonballed into the conversation and nobody really knew what he was going to say?
No, because it was called The Rush or something like that. It was a segment where they put him on the hot seat and he was supposed to stir things up.
Yeah, as an NFL fan.
Yeah, exactly. It was an NFL think piece.
So I think what I always say is, are you actually offended, or are you offended by the reaction? And I think the guys, Chris Berman, Tom Jackson, Steve Young, and Michael Irvin, the other guys on that show, were not bothered by what Limbaugh said in the moment. They were bothered by the reaction to what Limbaugh said. And then they came on the next week and they were like, this was so unacceptable. I would never have allowed Rush Limbaugh to ever. I mean, why can't he make that statement? I don't think there's any doubt that the media has rooting interests, right? Collectively, I'm a member of the media. I don't think there's any doubt in the world of sports that, and this is one of the reasons that we have success on this show as well, I don't pretend to be some like 100% perfect, unbiased fan of the world of sports. The reason why people like sports is because of the passion and the intensity and sometimes the irrationality of sports fandom. It doesn't make sense on a rational basis for any of you out there listening to me right now to have either good feelings or bad feelings based on what strangers playing a game do, right? I mean, that's totally illogical. And you probably have friends and family who have made that argument to you before, and you have to acknowledge that it makes no sense for you, without any tangible connection to a team, to allow your emotional enjoyment to be excited or despondent based on the result of a three-hour football game or a couple-hour basketball game. It's nonsensical. But that's what fandom is in many ways. It is nonsensical. The challenge, I think, is whenever you fire somebody for something that they say, you set the expectation for what is acceptable discourse. And when you fire somebody, like if I came on here and I said like 10 expletives in a row, then I'd be like, okay, there's probably a decent argument for iHeart, my bosses, to be like, yeah, you can't say the words that you just said, and you know that, and you didn't do it once, you did it 10 times in a row, I think we got to talk about potentially firing you, right? I'd be like, okay, that's a standard for acceptable speech. But being fired for an opinion when ESPN hired Rush Limbaugh in the first place, what did you think you were going to get? Probably some provocative, controversial topic that in the world of sports that may make some people a little bit uncomfortable. But ultimately, if it were a rational discussion and if it were well debated, could hopefully lead to a better understanding in the world of sports than existed beforehand. That's the idea anyway. By the way, we got people, I haven't even given out the number. We got people on the VIP line who want to weigh in.
Yeah, really quick here. We have Marv in Ontario, Canada.
Marv, what you got for me?
How you doing, guys?
Excellent.
Couple of quick points. I'll try to be as brief as possible. The veracity of any statement is proven by time. For example, the reason that Howard Cosell got fired was a spontaneous comment that he made on Monday Night Football, and he was fired for it then, and he would be fired for it today. Rush Limbaugh's statement, he was just a trailblazer. He was just willing to say something 18 years ago that society might not have been ready to hear, but it still was true. And history will prove that probably Donovan McNabb never got one single Hall of Fame vote. Rush was just stating what the facts were, and the guys in the moment were able to provide somewhat of an argument, but they didn't argue against what he said. The second thing that I wanted to say quickly is that what really troubles me about cancel culture is Fox News ran some of the internet statements that people were Twittering or bringing in on Facebook about their comments about Rush and good riddance and I'm glad he's dead. Why does the left-wing media not prohibit or censure those kind of statements? Whereas if Bill Clinton would die tomorrow, I doubt very much that any commentator would be able to ever say anything about his Oval Office antics and get away with it without it being called hate speech. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, well, I saw that some negativity, substantial negativity, was trending on social media when Rush Limbaugh died, and that some people out there, ridiculously, I think, were celebrating his death. It is interesting how we allow... Look, I don't like to get into deciding what is permissible and impermissible when it comes to speech, right? I don't think that is a standard that is very helpful for someone like me who explores ideas and gives opinions all day long. That's why I reject cancel culture at its most basic level, because I don't believe that we are allowing the full flourishment of the marketplace of ideas if we are canceling people based on opinions that make some uncomfortable, because in order to reach the best answer in a society where we are debating contentious issues, we can't say to some people, oh, your voice is not allowed to be a part of this conversation because it triggers me or it makes me uncomfortable. And moreover, you also don't have the right, by the way, to have a job, because that's what happens a lot, right? Somebody shares an opinion, and you can agree or disagree with any opinion, but the next step, the one that we have embraced in this country, particularly in a social media era, but I think Rush Limbaugh was on the front edges of this, is we are not going to allow you to be employed because your opinion has so upset my feelings that we're not going to allow you to be a part of the larger conversation. I think that is a tremendous failure of American society today. And whether or not you agree with anything Rush Limbaugh said, he represented the absolute forefront of the First Amendment for decades on his show, arguing in the marketplace of ideas widely for the beliefs that he had. And that is why I believe he is the most influential person who has ever worked in the medium of radio in its entire history. When we come back, I'll open up phone lines 877-996-6369. Some of you can react to that clip 18 years ago occurred on ESPN. Rush Limbaugh was fired for it. Rest in peace to Rush Limbaugh, all of his fans, all of his family out there. We're just kind of discussing his legacy here in the world of media and sports. This is OutKick on Fox Sports Radio.
This is OutKick, the coverage with Clay Travis.
We're talking about the legacy of Rush Limbaugh. Also, had a group scheduled that I want to talk to. This is a crazy story. We've talked a lot about COVID-related absurdities as it pertains to the world of sports and also the decisions that one state can make versus another state. And we have a business owner who lives on the border between Virginia and Tennessee in Bristol. If you're not familiar with the area of Bristol, one side of the street is Tennessee. The other side of the street is Virginia. And Virginia's restrictions on businesses are infinitely more substantial than the state of Tennessee's restrictions, which means you literally have one set of laws for and rules on the Tennessee border, one side of the street, another set for Virginia. What does that mean from a business perspective? I think you're going to be blown away to hear that distinction. It's interesting that Naomi Osaka, by the way, just building off that update from Eddie, beating Serena Williams, and it appears that maybe Serena Williams's career close to being over at the age of 39. What she's accomplished has been incredible. But Naomi Osaka has already become, I think this might surprise some people, to the degree to which she has become a big-time global spokesperson. She's on track to make over $40 million in endorsements in 2021, and she is the highest-paid female athlete in the world. And I imagine probably if people sat back and thought about that, you might have guessed it. I still would have anticipated that Serena would make more money than Naomi Osaka, but at 23 years old, she has been an incredible, incredible rise of her career. And obviously beating Serena, I don't know that Serena is ever going to get that additional major championship. We'll see whether or not potentially in Wimbledon or the U.S. Open. It's possible that Serena Williams is going to decide to retire at the U.S. Open. I would bet there's a decent chance of that, that the U.S. Open could be her final major of her life. So we'll see exactly what ends up going on there. When we come back, I want to – are we in good shape here? Danny G?
Yeah, you're good to get the guest ready here.
All right, so I want to go, instead of taking calls, I had this scheduled already, so I'm going to go to break and get to this guest. But I was fascinated, got an email from a small business owner on the Virginia side of the border across the street from Tennessee. For those of you, again, who are not familiar, Bristol, Virginia, literally one side of the street is the state of Tennessee. The other side of the street is the state of Virginia. What's it like to deal with completely different regulations in a COVID era? This story to me, I read it and I was blown away by it. We'll have the business owners on to explain. This is OutKick on Fox Sports Radio.
This is OutKick, the coverage with Clay Travis.
We are joined now by I believe it's a couple, and I was kind of fascinated by this story. They reached out to me to talk about their situation in Bristol, Virginia, right on the Tennessee and Virginia border, and I believe both of them on the line right now, Danny G?
Yeah, but in this case, Blair is a male, so JJ and Blair are going to take turns talking with you.
All right, so you guys, tell me about your business and what the situation is for people out there who don't know. Bristol, Virginia, one side of the street, Virginia rules, the other side of the street, Tennessee rules, because literally the street bisects the state line. And as a result, in an age of COVID, you've got completely different rules and regulations that govern in the state of Virginia as opposed to the state of Tennessee. You are on the Virginia side. Thanks for coming on. What does that mean?
So we're a restaurant, Quaker Steak and Lube, in downtown Bristol. We are on the Virginia side. and literally out our front door, 20 feet, is the Tennessee border. And so we're under the rules of Governor Northam and the state of Virginia, and across the street, which, well, that means that so at 10 o'clock, we have to have all alcohol off the tables, cannot be in possession of any guest. We can't have anyone sitting at our bar. We can have them sitting in tables 6 feet apart. However, across the street in Tennessee, 40 feet away to several bars within a block of us, they have been able to sit at the bar, stay open until 3 a.m., have live music, all of the above.
So this is wild. Like, we talk a lot on this program. We've talked a lot about COVID restrictions and which ones make sense and which ones don't. Because your state is literally bordering, I mean, your restaurant is basically on one side of the street and the other side of the street is Tennessee, you are dealing with the restrictions in Virginia, which are substantial, and the state of Tennessee has different restrictions, which are much less substantial. What has that meant to your business? In other words, if you were on the other side of the street and you were a Tennessee business as opposed to a Virginia business, how much difference would that make for your business?
This is Blair. The answer is very easy. It's just profitability. We consistently are losing money because of these restrictions. We're a music venue as well, and so live entertainment has been curtailed, and that's impacted our late night sales. Having to shut down at 10 o'clock has been a real killer for us.
So literally on the other side of the street, they can sell alcohol and have live performances until 3 a.m. potentially, and you guys have to shut down 5 hours earlier.
Correct.
So yes. What is the response of people who live in Bristol and see these absolutely different and ridiculously absurd rules applied on one side of the street versus the other side of the street? People have to think this is madness, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. And, you know, we see it every night, especially, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. When we do last call at 9:30, 9:45, there is just a mass exodus of all across out of here from all the crosswalks right across the street for people to keep going.
So people are having a beer, and you guys say, hey, you have to leave because of COVID restrictions, and you shut down on the Virginia side of the street, and they just walk across the street to Tennessee and continue whatever they were doing beforehand.
You can watch it every evening.
And our customers have overwhelmingly responded to us about how ridiculous the situation is. Thankfully, we have loyal customers, and they've been very supportive of us. But, you know, I think it goes back just to the fundamentals of this whole situation. If you don't want to go out, don't go out. My parents have not been to this restaurant, to my restaurant, since the COVID, and they're of the age where, you know, they're exposed, so I don't blame them. But you know what? Let's open up. I think that the whole country needs to open up. I feel sorry. I see on Fox News every day a restaurant owner from maybe California or up in New York. I really don't know how they're hanging on. To say they're hanging on by a string would probably even be a stretch. So I commend them because they're even more restricted than we are. We're just happy that we've been able to keep the doors open and all of our employees employed. And we've had very good, loyal employees who have stood by us throughout all of this.
So, and, you know, it's in spite of all these governors, right, with their ridiculous rules that have nothing to back them up, especially for us down in Southwest Virginia. On the border of Tennessee, we're being held to a standard from Northern Virginia, D.C. area. And it's ridiculous. It's two totally different areas of the country, two totally different responses and outbreaks of positive cases.
So it has to be a lot of businesses that are as frustrated as yours, right, that are close to the border like this, but literally on one side of the street. You know, I mean, it points to the absurdity of the rules that the Tennessee side, they're able to have a full flourishing of their business. And on your side, you're hanging on by your fingertips to even be able to keep your business open. Can't just be you, right? There's a lot of people dealing with these same restrictions in the state of Virginia, trying to compete with Tennessee businesses on the other side of the street without being able to compete on a fair playing field.
So I talked to our next door neighbor who owns a famous burger joint called the Burger Bar. His name's Joe Deal. Actually, Fox News actually interviewed him probably 3 or 4 months ago during this about this similar topic, and just the impact that it's had for him as well. I mean, it's just complete frustration, you know, and we're to the point that we want to fight this, these mandates. And, I think our next recourse, if Governor Northam does not allow us to open up, which it doesn't sound like from his press conference yesterday that he's going to, is to start filing lawsuits. And I'd hope that if we do, that many other business owners as well as other restaurants would follow suit.
What happens if you just stay open?
The health department comes in. We've had the health department in our business several times. I don't think our local health department really wants us to go under. I mean, the amount of taxes that we pay are astonishing. We pay a meals tax here to the city. I mean, we basically could fund the fire department, for instance, here with taxes.
Just based off your taxes that you pay. I appreciate it. We've got to finish off the show here. I appreciate you guys calling in.
Real quick, can I give a shout out to our business partner, Jeff Tickle, is down in Florida, and I want to give a shout out to him and Governor DeSantis down there, who's left Florida to stay open, and look at the success that they've had. I just want America to know that.
Thank you.
Florida is a great state.
Thank you. I think if you look at the data, thanks for you guys coming on. I just thought that was such an intriguing story. I think if you look at the data, that there is going to be zero doubt that of every major state, large state in the country, Florida did the best job. I mean, Andrew Cuomo may end up getting removed from office before all is said and done for the lies, deception, and potential criminal activity that he's been involved in the state of New York. In California, we may end up seeing Gavin Newsom be recalled because people in California are so fed up with the absurdity of the rules. But to me, this is just an emblematic larger metaphor of the absurdity of COVID rules that we had in place. That there's literally a street. On one side of the street, the bars and restaurants have to close at 10 o'clock. On the other side of the street, bars and restaurants can stay open until 3 a.m. What logic in any way justifies that decision-making? I mean, my position from the get-go for months and months has been open every school, open every business. The best stimulus that can exist in this country is letting business people and their employees go back to work full-fledged. And if you don't believe that the risk is worth it, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to go outside. You don't have to go anywhere. It's way past time to open up every business in America and every school. I appreciate all of you hanging out with me. And also, by the way, have some full stands and stadiums for those who want to go with baseball, which is going to be starting up soon. We're officially underway. I think tomorrow we'll be talking about spring training officially being underway. I appreciate all of you hanging out with us. I am Clay Travis. This is OutKick on Fox Sports Radio.